Guys, I'm super blessed to be here. I have a tummy full of food and a heart full of Jesus. Amen. I am blessed to be here. How are you all doing? Great. Okay, listen. I don't want you to be quiet tonight. Okay? I want you to pull it out of me. Okay? If there's anything I say or the Lord says through me that encourages you or impacts you, you can say amen. I won't be offended. You can't say, come on, brother, preach it. I won't be offended, okay? Okay, I'm going to preach to you tonight, sir. Okay, so I'm excited to be here. I really am. And Pastor Chris, Pastor Vanessa, thank you so much for opening up your door and giving me your platform. Yes, it belongs to the Lord, but he's trusted you with it. And I appreciate that you guys would trust me. And Robbie and Tati, thank you for connecting me with these guys. It's wonderful. And thank you for hosting me at your home. It's stunning. Jen and I need to come clean. We've pushed our flight back another month. So we're here till March, but we're just kidding. But guys, this is beautiful being in the US. We love it. None of us believe what we read in the news, what we hear in the news, you know. None of us English think America is actually as bad as the news say it is. Trust me. The news does say it's awful. But when I come here, it's brilliant. The people are lovely. Especially in Texas. America. America. My wife just said from the front, preach it, baby. Like, this is what Texas kind of does to us, okay? But guys, we are super blessed to be here. We really are. Thanks for having us. I believe the word I'm going to share today will encourage you and somewhat impact you and maybe give you something to think about. Before I do, Jennifer, can I? No, it's here. I want to just share with you that my book is out in the foyer. Most of you guys saw it. You have it there. Wonderful. Go and get it. It's great. Because my sister said so. Okay. And if you don't do as she says, I want to know why. Okay, it's in the foyer, right? I wrote this book for you. I wrote it for the believer. I didn't write it for evangelists. I wrote it for believers because it's not the evangelist's job to win everyone to Christ. It's just like it's not a mathematician's job to do all my sums. They teach me how to do math and then I do math. This book is for you, and some of the chapters, one of them's called The Value of Your Own Story. If you was here on Sunday, you heard my story. Your story is no less powerful than mine. The details may be slightly different, but the power of the story is we were lost, now we were found. We were hellbound, now we're heavenbound. You have a story. This book will help you convey that and initiate conversations. Another chapter is called Elevator Altar Call, how you can lead someone to Jesus by the time you get from the lobby to the third floor. Another one is called It's a Different Kind of Power. Because we have a different kind of power. We have resurrection power and the authority to use it, which makes all the difference. So if you want this book, it's $15. It's at the back. And actually, I have a heart to go to Nepal. I'm going to put all the proceeds of this. I want to go to Nepal. Nepal has less than 2%. 30 million people and less than 2% are Christian. Less than 2%. So the first $12,000 I get, I'm going to Nepal. So if you want to purchase this, send me there. I'll go and I will reach them. And I want to help those children who are being trafficked across the lines. I'm going to go and do it. I'm going to go and do it. I can't imagine Nepal will be comfortable, but hey ho, I have a comforter. He'll be with me. God bless you guys. Right, let me get into this word. Okay, I want to speak on a passage today that's really dear to my heart. It's really, really dear. It's actually one of my favorite passages. If you hear me preach before, you'll hear me say that about every passage. It's my favorite because everyone changes me. And oh boy, if you know me long enough, you'll know I need changing every day. Awesome. So the Bible does this, Pastor Chris. It changes me. Thank goodness it changes us. But this one is a passage about a hero of mine. This woman is a hero. Do we have any women of God in here tonight? Amen. I can see you being all quiet and prim and proper. We have this woman in this Bible. We don't know her name. When I get to heaven, I'm going to hopefully find it and hopefully have a tea party in Billy Graham's house. And I'm going to ask her lots and lots of questions because she's a hero of mine. She's a woman of courage, a woman of faith, a woman of determination. She is a woman who receives hope. And this passage just blows my mind. So I want to share this with you, and I hope that it blesses you, okay? I'm going to read from Mark 5, verse 25 to 35. I'm going to read this, and if any of you guys know this, you'll know that this passage is about a woman with an issue of bleeding. It's one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. It's one of the best evangelistic passages in the Bible. For me, at least. So let me read this. Let us unpack it. I'll get all hot and sweaty. That is a promise. And we'll see what the Lord has to do, okay? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You're here. Awesome. Verse 25. A certain woman. Say certain.
Certain.
Awesome. A certain woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all the money she had. Yet instead of getting better, her situation became worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, say thought. Awesome. She thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask who touched me." But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at the feet of Jesus, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He, Jesus, said to her, "Daughter," say daughter, "your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now, this passage is incredible. But before we go through this, allow me to give us a little backstory. Jesus gets in a boat and he heads to the opposite side of the lake to where this has just taken place. So before this takes place, Jesus gets in a boat and he heads to the other side of the lake. And there he's confronted by a demon-possessed man. Jesus casts those demons out. He casts them into the pigs. The pigs run down the hill into the lake and they stay under the water till the bubbles stop. They're drowned. They're dead. He gets back in that boat and heads over to the other side of the lake. And there he's confronted by a crowd of people. Inside of that crowd of people, there is a synagogue leader. His name is Jairus. Jairus has a daughter who's 12, and she's about to die. And Jairus pleads with Jesus to go and heal his daughter. So Jesus, the great compassionate one, the healer, he takes compassion and he's heading towards Jairus' daughter. However far away she is, I don't know. But he's on his way. So if you can imagine, he's the middle of the lake. This side, demon-possessed man, the one who spoils everyone's picnics. This man. Then there's the lake, and then on this side is this woman with the issue of blood, and a bit further along is Jairus' daughter. All this takes place in what seems to be a very short time. So let me break down this passage and let me show you through the scriptures how important it is for us to keep talking about Jesus everywhere we go, because we never know who's listening, right, Izzy? We never know who's listening. We never know who's listening, and we never know how we add to the family or already invite family members. Because people are listening, not intentionally eavesdropping, but the word of God will reach people, even if they're not intentionally trying to hear. If this room was pitch black and I switched the light on, whether you wanted to see it or not, you would. Because the light would just change the atmosphere. So this passage demonstrates how you and I ought to be telling people about Jesus or speaking about him everywhere we go. So let me get into this. Verse 25, a certain woman, you said the word certain. I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. You said it with me. A certain woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now this woman had been bleeding for 12 long years. And we know in Leviticus, I think it's 17:15, that if anyone bleeds longer than their regular cycle, they're deemed unclean. As a matter of fact, a woman bleeding is deemed unclean. But this woman bled for 12 long years. Now, in that culture, you couldn't touch or rub against anyone who was deemed unclean, because you were also deemed unclean. So if you brushed past her, you would have to go through the same rituals, I guess, the same patterns of being unclean. Everything she touched, if you touched after her, you were deemed unclean. So this woman would have been avoided. This woman actually knows a great deal about social distancing. And is me thinking it kicked off in a lab? This woman knows what social distancing is all about. She was doing it for 12 years. Culture separated her and deemed her unclean. Can you imagine not being able to embrace your family for 12 years? That's like solitary confinement, right? What's worse is you could actually see people going about their daily life and not being able to interact. Can you imagine the torment? Can you imagine what that would do to your mind and how you would think? Seeing the hustle and bustle, but yet not being able to integrate into the community. This woman suffered a great deal. 12 long years, the community would have known her as the unclean woman. It's quite somber, really, isn't it? The wonderful thing is, just like your story, Jesus comes into it. And lives get changed, like this woman. I mean, our lives were pretty awful, right, before Jesus came in. And even if you felt you had a great life, it was an amazing life the minute he walked in, right? But this woman's life is about to change. It says in verse 26, she suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And she spent all her money. And yet instead of getting better, her situation became worse. Now, isn't this the perfect time for the guest speaker to just drop a bomb and run? Isn't this the best time right now for the guest speaker to bash the medical world and you of little faith? No, it's not. Thank goodness for doctors and nurses and neurosurgeons and dentists and so on and so forth. I got hit by a drug dealer many years ago. He hit me so hard with a brass knuckles. My jawbone came out. I had a fracture here, popped a load of teeth out and split my tongue in half. I jumped in a taxi to go to hospital. My tongue decided it wanted to go down the back of my neck, so I grabbed it. And all of a sudden, my head hit the headrest, tip, boom, I had the tip of my tongue in my hand. I go to hospital, and they staple it on, and they stitch it on. Interesting, the devil took the tongue out my mouth and the Lord put it back in. Interesting, I'm now preaching the gospel, right? So, I can remember laying on the operation, on the surgeon's table. Pastor Meredith, I heard the surgeon say, he's under. I heard him. Clearly I wasn't under. I heard him, but I couldn't move. I thought, oh, but you best not start now. And then I heard this like voice of an angel. It must have been the anaesthetist. She said, not yet. Thank God for anaesthetists. Okay, so, but this poor woman had an absolute nightmare. Broke, isolated, violated, all the doctors giving her 2 pence worth. All the doctors touching her, trying to fix her. Isolated, violated, broken, oh, messed up. Financially broke. No friends, family not to embrace. Says she spent all the money. Instead of getting better, she became worse. Her situation became worse and worse, physically, emotionally, and financially. This woman was living a tough life. Just want to remind you to bring you back in the room. Jesus is on his way. Not that you've left. I can see you all leaning in, engaging. We're going somewhere here. Listen, if I'm getting hot and bothered and sweaty, so should you. Lean in. Okay. This is where it gets really interesting. It says in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. When she heard, I'm an evangelist, and I want to learn from other evangelists. I often say one of the most wonderful things about living 6,000 miles away from Robbie is I listen to him, rip him off and go and preach all the sermons. And he doesn't know because I live 6,000 miles away. But I want to learn from other people and other evangelists. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, who told her? Who told her? I want to know. It doesn't tell us. This is what I'm going to do. I hope this doesn't offend you, my sister. But I'm blaming you. We're not normally like this in church. Oh, can you blame me too? Okay, well, I'll blame you. I'm going to blame you too as well. Who told her? Who wants to be the one? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Who wants the blame? Somebody told her, and we don't know. When she came, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. I often wonder, how did she hear? No one was opening the door and speaking to her. Could it have been that faith was filling the town? Could it have been, hear me out, could it have been, just dream with me here. I like to. Okay, let me just throw something out there so you can track with me a little bit better. The minute, the day I got saved, or the week I got saved, I said, Lord, I don't only want to be in your word. I want your word to be in me. I don't only want to read the stories, I want to be in them. So just dream with me a little, okay? Could it have been that Jesus gets in a boat, goes and deals with the demon-possessed man, sets him ablaze, and he's off having the time of his life. He gets back in a boat with a couple of the boys, gets out on the shore. There's a bit of kerfuffle here with Jairus and his daughter over there, Jesus. Could it have been a couple of them saying, hey, lads, where have you been? As Jesus is just making his way. Could it have been a couple of the lads saying, where have you been? And the boys are like, you never guess what's just happened. What's just happened? Do you know Do you know the demon-possessed man? No more. What do you mean? Chains couldn't hold this man. We avoided him like the plague. We took the long route with the GPS because of him. Jesus has set him free. Could you imagine? Could it have been something like this? The demon-possessed man's been set free. What do you mean? Do you know the man across the lake? He's been set free. Could it have been that testimonies of healing and hope and faith started to saturate this town? And this poor woman, all of a sudden, who's isolated, broken, violated, absolutely financially broke in this dark room, could it have been that the word of God, the testimony and the healing power of God somehow made its way under her door? Because the Bible tells us when she heard, and we don't know who told her. I'm blaming you. Oh, I love it when I blame people. You smile so much, I am convinced both of your ears moved. You see, we want the blame for this, right? Blame me, Lord. Guilty as charged. I want to be the one. But this woman, she hears. And all of a sudden, hope hits her heart. Because we know hope deferred makes the heart. Hope hits her heart. And all of a sudden, she's up on her feet. Can you imagine, Pastor Kevin? Can you imagine? All of a sudden, she hears. What is this? She gets up on her feet and she pulls back that door of brokenness, of isolation, of violation. Oh boy. Pastor Meredith, she sees him. She sees him. Pastor Terry, she sees him. She sees the God-man himself. In town, John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In the Message translation, it says this, the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. The word of God became flesh and he's in town and he's making his way through this village. And she hears about him. She hears about him and she makes her way to him because she thinks, if I could just touch his cloak. I want to just highlight something here. Verse 27. When she heard verse 28, she thought, grab this, guys, grab it. Listen to what I'm saying. When she heard, she thought, what's the best way of putting a thought in someone to touch Jesus? By letting them hear he's here. When she heard, she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She pushed through. There she is, broken, isolated. She sees him. This is a woman of courage. We have women and men of courage in here. She sees him. And despite the obstacles, people, despite the people, she makes her way to him. She pushes through for her breakthrough. She pushes through. Do you know, there is no breakthrough without resistance. Because if there's no resistance, what are we breaking through? You don't break through a door that's not there. You don't break through a window that's not there. So she pushes through for her breakthrough. I wonder what the punishment would have been for her had she I've touched a bunch of those people. Actually, I want to study that. I want to know. I don't know what the punishment was. I don't know how much of the risk she turned up for her reward. Guys, I'm telling you right now, I said this on Sunday and I want to say it again. This is not a false humility. I know I'm amazing. Who said amen? You can come again. It's not a false humility. But I'm telling you right now, God will use each and every one of us. God will move through each and every one of us according to how we want him to, if that makes sense. It's not a false humility when I say this. Maybe there is, but I'm going to give it a broad stroke. Nobody in here, I said it on Sunday, is absolutely desperate to hear me. Maybe there is. But I'm telling you something right now that I know is absolutely true. Every lost person out there is desperate to hear any one of us. Because you have what they need. And freely we receive, freely we give. But this woman sees Jesus, the God-man, walking through town. Can you imagine? Ooh. I'd have jumped on his back, me, but that's besides the point. Jesus, heal me, quick. But she has to play it quite cool, I think. I don't know. I'm just imagining what the scenario would have been. And she touches him. She comes through, pushes through. She takes that opportunity. Because she heard he was in town. She thought, if I could just touch his clothes. She took an opportunity. She plucked up the strength. And she moved towards her healing. Stealth-like, I presume. Pushing through for her breakthrough. And she gets it. Hey. It goes on. I'm going to get to it in a moment. But in case I forget, I want to say it before I get to it, if that makes sense. Jesus said, who touched me? One of the disciples said, there's many people touching you, and yet you still ask. It's apparent, or it may seem apparent, that Jesus is that good you can sneak up on him and still be set free. You can sneak up on him and touch him without him even knowing. Of course he knows. He's just so amazing. And I'm just going to say this because this is my last session here, at least on this trip. I want to say this. We can demonstrate him and imitate him everywhere we go. My question is, do we want to? Do we want to? Do we want to tell people about him? Because we can. And we ought to. We ought to see the lost come in. Because she thought, if I could just touch his cloak. She pushed through, despite the obstacles. If anyone had noticed it, I don't know whether it have brought more shame or trouble to her life. This woman knew in her heart that if Jesus could heal her, knew that Jesus could heal her, her faith was activated. And she touches him. Goes on to say in verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was instantly healed from her suffering. Instantly, right away, the bleeding stopped. That very moment, 12 years of pain, shame, torment, stress, worry, anxiety, loneliness evaporated in a blink of an eye. This woman's reward of healing was on the other side of risk. It was a journey of fear, obstacles, rules, restrictions, or of faith. It was fearful. She may have been fearful because she didn't want anyone to notice it or rub up against anyone. And it was a faithful one because she knew if I could touch him, he would heal me. At once, Jesus felt power had gone out of him. Wow. Can you imagine? Extracting power from the most powerful one. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? Can you imagine? Touching Jesus and him knowing that power had gone from him. You see, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And a disciple said, "Many people are touching you." The Lord exposed something to me in this. He exposed something to me. Didn't I say I want to get into the word and not just the word into me? He said, "Andrew, bear in mind, there's many people around him. There's a crowd of people. Pastor Terry, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, Andrew, I know a faith-filled individual touch in a corporate setting. If you're in a stadium of 60,000 people, he knows when you touch him. He's not confused. He's not put out. He will know every individual that touched him." It says, at once, Jesus felt power had gone out of him. Can you imagine? Who touched me? Looking around for the one with faith. Faith. She took it by faith. Could it have been when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Could it be him saying, "Who amongst you has faith? Who amongst you has the very substance that's pleasing to my Father?" Again, we're going on a little journey here. Just dream with me. I've got this sneaky feeling that Jesus knew. I've got this feeling that Jesus knew who touched him. And I think Jesus was about to do something so beautiful on her behalf. I believe Jesus is about to expose her to the community because he's going to set her free. And he wants as many people to see it. So they don't have to take her word for it. They'll take his word for it. Who touched me? My Lord, there are many people pressing against you. The disciples answered, and yet you still ask who touched me. I believe that when Jesus seen this woman, it says she fell at her knees, trembling with fear. And I find it interesting because none of these words are in the Bible by mistake. It goes on, Pastor Terry, to say, she told him the whole truth. Now, I remember being asked to tell the whole truth when I was a kid. It actually doesn't seem that long ago the police were asking me for the whole truth. You know when you're a kid and you go, "Right, Mom, I've done this," and she goes, "Okay, now tell me the whole truth." I wonder what the dialogue was. Because isn't the truth enough? Wouldn't it have been sufficed to say she told him the truth? But this word whole truth, as if there's some dialogue amongst them. She told him the whole truth. He says, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Now go in peace. Could it be that when Jesus saw her and he was about to expose her to the community, could it have been that he picked her up? Picked her up and said, "Daughter," looking at them all, "Oh, that filthy woman. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Now go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Daughter, be freed from your suffering and go in peace." Now, I'm not here, but if I was, I kind of know me, but let's say it was me, and I wasn't allowed to touch people for 12 years. My sister, the minute he set me free, I'd have gone around that crowd like that, touching them all. "In your face, devil!" I'd have been jumping on the backs. "I'm free, whether you like it or not." I'd have touched them all. They'd have been like, oh, bleh, like that on their head, jumping on their backs. He sets her free. He set me free. There was a time people would avoid me because it came at great cost to be around me. You could say it still doesn't, how to be honest, but that's a different story. People avoided me like I had the plague because I was just lost and broken. I had no way out. I didn't know what to do. I was broken. I had no way out until Jesus came into town. And it was as if he said, Andrew, your faith has set you free, son. Go in peace. What I want to get to here, and I'm going to emphasize the importance of touching him. She touched him. She touched him. And he knew it. Verse 25, you said it, a certain woman. Verse 30, who touched me? She became an identified woman. Verse 34, daughter. She went from a nobody to a somebody to a daughter in 10 verses, because you told her he was in town. Because you did. Amen. You're not escaping. Because of you did, brother. You did. You did. You told her. You told her. Come on. So I'm okay, I won't leave you. You told her. Who told her? Oh, I need to. I've been preaching myself hotter than what it sounds. Who told her? You told her. Can you believe it? You're going to go home tonight and say, the evangelist accused me. He blamed me. Yes, I did. I want to blame you. I don't care who it was, as long as it was us. But know this, you'll have to get there before me. We are not in competition. We're not competitive fools. We're covenant kids. The oldest we can be is like a child, which suits me down to the ground, to be fair. So, I don't care who it is who told her or how she heard, as long as it's us. And this woman's life was transformed. Transformed. Because she thought, if I could just touch him, my life would change. I want you to just reflect on your life. There's been times, even in the Lord, we felt like nobodies. When comparison kicks in. When comparison kicks in, all sorts of awful things can be conjured up in our mind. Why them? Why not me? Have you heard of that kind of thinking? We're not in competition. We ought to edify and build up one another. You know, we always hear about, you know, being accountable. You know, I'm being accountable to my brother. You know, he meets with me and, you know, I'm being accountable. Typically, we've reduced being accountable to someone by just by telling them that, I don't know, let me just make something up. You have a gambling problem, a pornography problem. That's part of it. Accountability is me keeping Pastor Meredith an account of his ability. In Christ. Accountability, the abilities. We're keeping an account of your ability. Like what you can do and how we can lift people up. account of our ability. What's my ability? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Keep me account of that. Yes. Let's keep an account of that. Yes, whilst confessing our sins onto one another. I'm sure you'll know who you can speak to. Let's keep an account. Let's go after souls. Let's do everything we can so that when they hear, they will think about touching him. I said on Sunday, prophesying, I believe, is an overflow of seeing and hearing. Reaching the lost is an overflow of being found. Evangelism is an overflow of being found. It's simply telling the one in front of you about the one who reigns in you. It's very simple. Very simple. Some people struggle to initiate the conversation. Just say this. Hey, has anyone told you today how much Jesus loves you? That's it, right? We can all say that. As a matter of fact, can we say that right now? Has anyone told you today how much Jesus loves you? There you go. That's all you need to initiate a conversation. Three things have taken place. Has anyone told you, it's personal, that Jesus loves you today? Has anyone told you, it's personal, about Jesus, the kingdom today? Three things, personal, kingdom, time frame. And see what they say. What we're going to do, I believe, now, we're just going to go into a little time of ministry, okay? Because I just sense that there's people in here who may want to touch the Lord. It could be to bring something and say, Lord, I don't want this. Or Lord, I need this. I was sharing this morning with the pastors and the leaders that, you know, the Bible says no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Or no one sews a new patch onto an old skin because the patch will burst away and the wine will be ruined. Well, how do you get a new skin from a recent death? Don't worry, I don't believe the Lord's going to kill any of you off. But he might want to kill something off. Pours out new wine. Sometimes he needs to take things from us in order to fill us with something.